After years of covering the migrant and refugee crisis in Europe and the war-torn countries many of them are fleeing, a group of journalists and photographers decided something was missing. A guidebook. Why not? Every other traveler in Europe has one. So they put together a 269-page book titled Europa, an illustrated introduction to Europe for migrants and refugees. There are lots of photos of the refugee crisis provided mostly by members of the international cooperative Magnum Photo. It's written in four languages, English, French, Arabic, and Farsi. It's also part history primer, part resource list. One of the people behind the project is the Belgian-Dutch journalist Lisa de Bode, who lives in Brooklyn but joins us from Brussels, where she's been distributing these books. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Well, and you haven't sent us a hard copy of this. I think this is fascinating. We've looked at a link online because you want these books to go to the refugees and the migrants.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. So we don't want to lose a single issue, basically, to press.
Yeah.
So we're sending all of them out to organizations. And
but we have looked through, and it's pretty fascinating. Here's just some of the table of contents. Death at sea, roots, the stories of different refugees, legal entry, Greece, Spain. It goes through the different countries. What is it that you wanted to impart?
So the idea is from Magnum photographer Thomas Dworzak, who'd been covering this crisis for years. And then the content of the book was developed by my editor, Alia Malik, who's a great writer, and she's been covering this crisis as well. And so as they were working on the front lines of this crisis, they were struck by the number of questions people had, both like practical concerns, like where to request asylum, what country should I best go to if I want the best healthcare system, but also people carried shame, shame about the pasts and countries that we were forced to leave behind. But then few people realized that only 71 years ago, Europe itself had been torn apart by the violence that they were just forced to flee. So that was one observation.
In other words, you wanted incoming refugees to know that Europe had a history of refugees,
people
fleeing from the very countries that these refugees are trying to get to right now.
Correct, yes. Mm. And so we really, that's something we really wanted to impart, Europe's own immigration history, which is very rich and, you know, which in 1951 gave rise to the Refugee Convention, which still today influences the laws that are being made to protect refugees.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we saw that at least part of the population, or at least politicians, seemed to have forgotten about this history, or at least they wanted to enforce like a collective amnesia of our own immigration history. So like taking those two observations, that's how we came up with the book, to remind people of their own histories as well.
Yeah. Well, it's part, as we said, guide, things like victims' rights and the right to due process and the freedom of expression in the media, how that works in Europe.
Yep.
It's also a cautionary tale, you know, death at sea of people who don't make it. I mean, what would you say to people listening right now who want to hear more about that, who worry that your guidebook might actually inspire more people to try to make this treacherous trip than maybe should?
Well, I think first and foremost, the guidebook is geared towards refugees or immigrants, people who need information when they will decide to go to a different country, because inevitably that's like a consequence of war. So
you're saying that
traveling
you're saying many refugees are going to come no matter, you know, whether there's a book or not, because they're fleeing something.
Exactly. And so that's the reality of the world we're living in. And then whenever going to a new place, especially traveling in dangerous conditions, having information is key to making good decisions. And of course, like people have like their own networks and like will share information among themselves, among family members. And we hope that adding to the collection of information out there might be useful.
Yeah. How did you decide what information? I'm looking at Spain. So the first item is same-sex marriage. Spain was the third country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage. Then pharmacies. Pharmacies are generally open from 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. You know, it just seems like a kind of a hodgepodge, but in an informative one. But how did you decide? I mean, same-sex marriage, would that be to telegraph to refugees coming in, this is legal here, although it may not have been in your home country, and this is accepted here, even though you may frown on it?
I think what happened when we looked at how to convey the information that's in the book, we started with the EU, the European Union, its history, where it came from, what inspired it. And that's when we looked at its charter, the Charter of Fundamental Rights of People of Residents in the EU. And the charter defines like what the laws should be in each member state. There's areas of the law that can differ, obviously. Like every member state can still, like, has their own areas of jurisdiction. But there's a lot of guidelines in there. So we took those principles and applied them to the different countries. And yes, like there, so we talk about, as you mentioned, like freedom of sexuality, of religion, of those rights that are in the charter and every country should abide by. But then we also looked at, are these rights applied to everyone, and is everyone being held to the same standard? And that's not the case. Usually immigrants and newcomers will not be able to enjoy the same rights.
Well, it's also maybe to give a heads up of some of the bewildering things that are common in individual countries. There's a gesture in France to signal that someone is drunk, and another gesture in Austria to wish you good luck, so that people will know what, you know, what people are waving their hands at and what that means.
Yes, there are. You're right. Like, there are random facts like in the book as well. At the same time, like, we know, like, we didn't want to just impart historic information or things that weren't very practical sometimes. So yes, information about some gesture people will make in a specific country is something that's part of the book as well.
Well, we also note in the table of contents at least a couple of the stories from people who've made the passage, migrants who've made the passage, are as told to Lisa Dubode. One is Halo Salam, a lawyer and sociologist, and another, he's 44. Another is Mir Hatem Sah, who's 17. Just, can you just give us, very briefly, what would you want us to know about each of those refugees that you met?
So Halo, he's a guy I met in Berlin. He's, so for the book, we went to look for people who used to be refugees and are now citizens of the country that they resettled in, and then decided to talk to us to impart some wisdom or a lesson that they had learned and wished that they had known before they migrated or fled. Halo's story, he used to be a refugee, and then he got it. So he enrolled in university, got a job, saw he was really good at languages. So he interpreted and translated for his colleagues, other refugees like him. This, in the end, decided or compelled him to pursue a career as a social worker. So in the end, he got a job at a refugee shelter in Berlin, where he is now helping others arrive. And he said, you know, like, I was so happy to see a large part of the German population welcome a lot of us compared to 10 years ago. This was a difference. I wasn't welcomed the same way. At the same time, I worry. I also worry a lot because it's not looking as if this will last.
Well, it's, you know, let me ask you about that, Lisa. It's really not. You know, the same kind of anti-immigrant, there is too much migration sentiment that has propelled elections from the U.S. to the Brexit. Yeah. It may even affect Germany. It's already affected France. Mm-hmm. What are your concerns?
I think they're very similar to a lot of people listening right now. Immigration is a major point in the agenda of a lot of politicians now campaigning on nationalist dangerous agendas. And I wish I knew how to counter that. I think what we can do, or what we aimed with the book, is to show how similar a lot of our experiences are. Like, if you'll read the oral histories in the book, the experience of migration and of conflict is one that a lot of Europeans and newcomers have in common. And I think it's important to remember that.
Well, maybe you can get a fundraising going. I mean, you obviously, yes, your dollars need to be carefully spent, but, you know, maybe the book can go wider so people can read these stories.
Definitely. So there are 5,000 physical hard copies out there, which isn't nearly enough. But the book can also be downloaded for free in both PDF version and ebook online on our Facebook page. So that's where people, everyone can access it.
That's Lisa Dubode, a Belgian-Dutch journalist based in Brooklyn. The new book she co-authored is Europa, an Illustrated Introduction to Europe for Migrants and Refugees. You can find a link to it at hereandnow.org. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
And as for those gestures we were talking about, the one in France to signal that someone is drunk, where you make a ring with your thumb and forefinger, and then you place that ring over your nose. In Austria, that gesture to wish someone good luck, make two fists, tuck your thumbs down in your fist, and then pretend to pound on a table. You shake your fists up and down. In Germany, pointing an index finger to the head means someone's crazy. That seems kind of universal. In Greece, nodding your head backwards or raising your eyebrows means no. Tilting your head to the side means yes.